We're going to explore it just a little bit more.
Okay.
Welcome back, friends. Yes, we're going to explore where we're at a little bit more. So this resource. So are you, is he helping the, or maybe I should let you, I don't want to lead too much for your answer, but got to hit a ball over somewhere.
Sure.
So is it the mechanics of writing that this Thomas Unstatt does? Is it the, like, okay, so let's use your book.
Okay.
That I find very well done. I find when I opened it, there was some really kind of picky. There was plenty of margin around. The words didn't go falling into the well or whatever this is called.
I got her.
The typeset was good. The color of the papers. I mean, it looks like something, a publishing house would have put out. Very, very well done. I've got some other self-published books, and it tends to show. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't learn that so much through him, although there probably are some of his podcasts that may address that. I don't know. I didn't happen to come across any. How I really learned that is that I started looking at old books that I really appreciated. You know, the art of book publishing, to a great degree, has been lost, I think. And people settle for what I consider to be kind of low-quality books from major publishing houses. They just, I don't think hardly anybody publishes a good book anymore. For the one thing, they are really about economy. And especially for a long book like mine, they're going to do everything they possibly can. Like you're showing all that white space. It used to be the way a book was written, a chapter always started on what's called the obverse, on the right-hand side of the page,
right,
of the book. And if the chapter ends on that page, well, then the reverse side of the page, you leave blank. That's the way it used to always be done. That was considered good publishing etiquette. That's almost been totally lost. The font that I used is, it's actually a free font that was made by, I can't remember the guy's name. It's in the back of my book, because I have a colophon in the back that speaks to that. But he is a big time, he's a type designer for one thing, but he wanted to rescue a guy's type that had been made early in the 20th century that a lot of people at that time said, this is the most beautiful typeface that's ever been produced. But it was produced in real hard metal type, and it's been lost in the years. And there was one, somebody tried to kind of resurrect it a little bit, but they didn't really do a good job of it. So he went in as a type designer and resurrected that and fleshed it out. It's a 30 font typeface, meaning that it has, depending on the size of font you use, the particular things you use, whether you want to use it for a display face or a text face or a caption face. He did all of that, and he released it free to the world. So I don't know if I might be the first person that has really fully used it to its fullest extent. We'll see. I may try and get back in touch with him.
Absolutely.
But it really is, I consider, a beautiful typeface.
It is. It was pleasant. And sometimes, and if we have to, as we read some quotes or whatever, I'll go to my glasses, whatever, but often I don't. But if I have some more of these modern prints, I find my eyes are squinting, they get tired. But that wasn't so reading your book. I was able, with good illumination, just go off.
It's good to hear that it accomplished that then.
Yes. Anything else on the mechanics of the publishing?
A graphic artist. I did it myself with the assistance of John Singer Sargent. He actually made a painting that was called, it's hard to find, it's kind of an obscure painting, called Young Man in Reverie. And I modified it just a little bit. So that's my front cover. And then there's on the back cover, that's also, I try and use public domain, good artists' work. The one on the back is by a man named David Roberts, who did some of the first drawings and paintings that came back to the West from Petra.
And are those names I recently read it, but I can't recall. Are those artists listed here in the back of your book? The paintings that you used here, is that cited in your book?
I don't think I did cite the painting on the back. I really should. Thanks for mentioning that. I hadn't thought of that. There is in the frontispiece. I've got another one from David Roberts. I do cite him there. And then I think I cite the front cover artist on the copyright page.
If.
Yes.
Only if it's convenient and you remember. When you're sending the links over, you know, I'll put that in as we move forward. Oh, and so you said 6 months. And the motivation to write was just, You had to tell the story,
right? And in the beginning, the first novel was a matter of sheer survival, as I mentioned previously, and then the second one was a story that had been brewing in me for probably 40-45 years.
So, what advice would you give to budding authors? You mentioned the websites Scrub.
I think it's, to me, the important thing about writing is writing something that compels you to write about it. If there's just something burning inside of your soul, burning inside of your mind, inside of your heart, go for it. Even if it seems that it's something that maybe nobody else would be interested in, or the publishing world wouldn't be interested in, to me, it's so much more important to write what you have a passion for writing. To me, that's what it's all about. And all the other things will take care of themselves if you're passionate about it.
I agree. I know around here we have, different viewers and different numbers and so forth, so on. But I also, I very much have the mindset, well, if I save one soul, it's worth it. And that one soul might actually be mine.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, friends, we're going to pick up. We're going to get into the meat of the book. His themes. Maybe he'll give us a general synopsis of his story, and we'll go from there. Till then, my friends, fides erratio.